kind of ease. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee.
Well.
And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I'm going to leave with you the title, Kicking Against the Prick. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you, God. We glorify your name. We thank you for your word, and we pray, God, that you will just move by your spirit. And we thank you, Father. We know that you have prepared something for your people on this day. We pray that I will get out of the way, that you will be able to do what you need to do, be able to speak to your people, God, prepare their hearts and minds for receiving the word on today, God, and thank you. Thank you, Father, for using me to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Kicking against the prick. /gold. G-O-A-D,
amen.
The prick or goad. Paul, having persecuted the church and, as he puts it, did everything contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he put the saints in jail, he cast his votes against them, and, you know, as they were being put to death, Paul put his stamp of approval on it. Paul was just plain mean to the Christians. And he was all out. He went all out. You know how you, when you were in the world, you went all out for the enemy.
My God.
And I mean, it didn't matter what it was that you needed to do. You didn't leave anything on the floor. You know, say, you know, we went out the other day to the shower and we just danced our little hearts out. But I remember being back in the world and I would dance to the night away.
Well,
sweating my hair out, come out of them clubs, and my hair was all fuzzy and because we didn't really have relaxers back then. But I didn't care. I left it all on the floor. Tired, knees hurting, legs hurting. But I didn't care. I left it on the floor. And that's what God would have for us to do in ministry and when we come to the house of God, leave it all on the floor. Don't come in here, you know, acting like you don't want to serve him and acting like you don't want to praise him. And you know what you did out in the world. Paul said, I left it all out on the floor. And so we see Paul coming to Caesar because he had to make an appeal for his life. And the Jews were so angry with Paul because of this that they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Paul. And you know, they were plotting. They had a good plot going on to kill Paul. And they couldn't kill him because he was a Roman citizen and he had protection with the Romans. And so they had to keep taking him from place to place for somebody to agree with them that it's okay that we could take Paul and we can do what we want to do with him. So we find Paul having to make his appeal to Caesar. And he gives this account and he goes on to say that as he was on his way to Damascus, having authority from the high priest to do more damage to the Christians. He had authority. He had authority to just go and mess with more Christians. He wanted to go from one place to the next and just pull them out of their houses and locking them up in chains and watching them be killed. And just like he watched Stephen, he stood there and they stoned Stephen to death. And Stephen gave a great sermon and they stoned him to death. And Paul was standing there holding the coats of the people who were stoning Stephen. That's how evil he was. But Paul didn't realize how evil he was. He thought he was doing the work of the Lord. He really thought that his mind was just, you know how some people can have tunnel vision. You can try to tell them, listen, that's not the way to go. That's not the way to do this. Let's do it this way. But he was like, oh, listen, I'm not listening to anybody else. This is the way it's going to go here. But Paul says to Caesar, I had authority. In verse 13, he says, but let's look at verse 12. It says, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. But then he says, at midday, O king, something happened. In the middle of the day, something happened. You know, sometimes things happen in the middle of the night.
Well,
sometimes things can happen like in an early time, early morning time. But Paul said in the middle of the day. You know how sometimes we look around and we say, I can't believe they did that. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day when everybody's out, when people just were all over the place and they came out shooting up and down the street. In the middle of the day, Paul said something happened to me. It was in the middle of the day. Paul says something happened to me. So I'm going to look at three things. The first thing that we want to look at is what he saw. What he saw. The second thing is what he felt. And then the third is what he heard. What he saw, what he felt, and what he heard. He said to the king, O king, I got to let you know something. I did do all of that. I did go through all those changes, and you know, I didn't understand my ways at that time, but I have to put it out on the table. You know, sometimes when we come into the house of the Lord, you know, you can't come in here thinking that you can fool God. You can't fool him. You stand up here at this altar and you trying to act like you ain't what you used to be, or you ain't still doing the things that you used to be. Now, you can't. God knows your heart. He knows everything about you. And he knows where you're going when you leave here. He knows what you're going to do when you leave here. He knows what you got on your mind. God knows it also. When you stand at this altar, you better understand that you need to come clean with God. You need to come clean with God. And so Paul, he was standing there and he says, you know what, O King, I just have to give it to you like it is. I need to tell you all of what, I need for you to understand this is what it is. This is the way it is. But I need to let you know in verse 13 that at midday, O King, this something happened to me. I can't even quite explain it, because if I really try to explain it, King, I couldn't even, you know, muster up the real words that I need to explain this thing. But King, I need you to know that something happened. He says, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven.
Well,
above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. He said, listen, I saw in the way a light from heaven about the brightness of the sun shining around about me. Listen, we got to understand that, you know, he's talking about a light that was so bright that light, it lit up so heavenly and so bright that light was shining on Paul so much and so hard that it was penetrating into his own soul. And when the Bible says that Paul, when he looked on this light, that Paul was, he was blinded for 3 days after looking upon this light. The light was so bright. And see, I mean, I can only imagine what Paul went through. And I've told this story many times about how the same thing almost happened to me, almost similar to what happened to Paul. I was in church and I was on the choir and I was singing. We were walking down the aisle. You know how the choirs march in and everybody's singing. Yeah. We were singing and the music was playing and, oh man. And I mean, everything, people were clapping their hands and, wow, yes, this is great. We walking in and all of a sudden I get past this window. And as soon as I get to the window, something happened to me. I didn't understand what happened to me, and I was so confused for so many years. I didn't understand it. When I got to that window, I'm marching, and everybody else is marching, and all of a sudden, I hear this roar like there's this train, this freight train that's coming through this window, and I turn around and look, and all of a sudden, I see this bright light shining on me, and I'm like, oh my God, what is that? And I was really getting ready to take cover. I was getting ready to jump down on the floor because I was so afraid. I was like, what in the world? And I felt myself doing like this. And then when I opened my eyes, I saw everybody else was still clapping their hands and going like this. And I was like, what just happened? And everybody else is just, yes, they singing. And I done had an experience with the Lord, and nobody else knew it but me.
Well, come on.
And I'm really confused because I'm walking, I'm like, looking at the window like, what the heck was that? I never knew what it could be. I never understood what it could be. I knew that the Lord was calling me out. I knew that the Lord was doing something in my life. But I never understood that what it is that he could be doing. But how many of us know that Jesus is the light of the world? Hallelujah. And he said, I am the light of the world. And I thank God, because when Paul says that he shined a bright light on him, Paul, the light was so bright that shined on Paul that Paul was blinded for 3 days. Jesus, the light of the world, shined on him. He shined on him. And the Bible tells us that John came, and John, he bared witness to that light. Amen. He bared witness to, but John said, but I'm not that light. I wasn't that light. I'm not that light. But he said the light of the world is Jesus Christ. And Jesus shined his light on Paul. And Paul was blinded for 3 days. He said, I could not see for the glory of the light I had. Hallelujah. I had to be led by the hand. He had to be led by the hand to take, for someone else to take him around, because he could not see for 3 days for looking on the light. I'm telling you, the light of Christ is the brightest thing that you could ever see. Hallelujah. You can't really look straight into the light of Christ. You can't really look in it, because it's Jesus himself. And he shines himself down on each and every one of us. And so Paul said, I saw a light. I saw a light. I saw a light. And the light shined on me. He says, above the brightness of the sun. It was brighter than the brightness of the sun. It was above the brightness of the I'm talking about the light of Jesus. He said it was above the brightness of the sun. And you know, I mean, I just when I started reading this, I just started to weep, because I said, God, Jesus, hallelujah. Because you didn't have to give me that experience. I thank you, God, that you gave me that experience, that I can kind of understand what Paul saw. I can understand what was going on here. I can understand what he must have been feeling. He said the sun was shining round about him and them which journeyed with him. But then he also felt something.
Come on.
It says in verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, he felt that. The power, hallelujah, the power of the light. Do you understand that there's power in the light?
My God.
There's power in the light, because the light is Jesus himself, that when he shines down on you, they fell to the ground. Not just Paul. Paul wasn't the only one who fell to the ground, but everybody who was under that light fell to the ground.
Yeah.
And they fell under the power of the light.
Yeah.
And you know, let me tell you something. I don't care when that thing happened to me. I don't care what I was going to be doing or trying to be doing. Let me tell you, it had my attention. It had my attention. And I was ready to be on that floor. Had I not opened my eyes, I was going to be on the floor balled up with my hands all around my head like this. Like a wild, like something, like a train is coming through here or something. I don't know what that is, but it's coming through here. And the light was so bright. And I'm here to tell you that these people, they fell under the power of the light of Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jesus Christ here.
My God.
And they fell under the power. He felt something. And then he heard something. In verse 15, it says, no, I'm not going to go to 15. Go to 14. And it says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, Saul, Saul, in the Hebrew tongue, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for me to kick against the pricks. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the pricks, because I guess people are probably saying, well, what's the pricks?
All right.
What's the pricks? And what is this that God is saying to Paul? Why is he telling him, you know, to stop kicking against the pricks? Well, I'm going to try to help you understand that, because it's another word for goad, a G-O-A-D. And a goad is a young ox when it was first yoked, usually represented the burden and tried. Wait a minute. A young ox, when it was first yoked, usually represented the burden and tried kicking its way out. resented. A young ox, when it was first yoked, usually resented the burden and tried kicking his way out.
Yeah.
There it is. So if the ox was yoked to a single-handed plow, the plowman would hold a long staff with the sharpened end, which is called the goad, close to the heels of the ox.
Well, come on.
And every time the ox kicked it, he struck the spike. And so the ox was yoked to another ox. The baby ox was always yoked to a more mature ox.
Well,
okay? And the more mature ox actually knew where he was going because he had been trained. He had already been, you know, moving along and doing things. So he was a more mature ox. But the baby ox would try to go in different directions and do other things, you know, didn't understand the way that they needed to go. They needed to plow in a straight line. And what would happen is sometimes the baby ox would go off and do his own thing. I even saw that when we were having Holy Communion. I saw a little Kamal when he stood up. I mean, they were standing in line. And then all of a sudden, Yemi, she grabbed him back because little Kamal was coming on down. He was getting ready to come down. Everybody else was standing in line. He's just getting ready to come on down. She just grabbed him back. The little ox needed the big ox. Now, you're not an ox, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, to keep him in line because he doesn't understand yet. You understand where I'm coming from? And so, you know, it's like the little ox is being trained. He's being taught how to go about life and how to understand life. And so he has to be yoked to another ox in order to be able to do this thing right. And so let me read something to you. It says, think what it would be like for one ox to draw the plow. It would be very difficult. That is why the farmer yokes two together. And he yokes them together because they are doing the same task.
Well,
the young oxen wants to get the plow and take off by himself. He will not go in a straight line. He will tear through the rocks and quickly run out of steam. The young ox will run out of steam because he doesn't understand what he's doing. I remember one time I was outside with one of the babies, and I had to kick my heels off to catch him because he got away from me. He's going to run out in the street. I was like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me out here. This is my child. That's my child out here. I had to kick my heels off to catch him. He was so fast. Little kid, little baby. The little ox, he didn't understand what he was doing, but I should have had his hand. He needs to be yoked up. He needs to be yoked up with somebody who knew what they were doing. And so a young ox is always yoked to a mature ox to learn from it and to grow from it. The old ox knows the way to go, and he knows the path to follow. The yoke keeps the young ox from wandering off and getting into rocky ground. The young ox will tire as the day goes on. The yoke enables the old ox to take the burden during the heat of the day. The yoke becomes easy and light for the one that is learning. It becomes easy and light for the one that's learning. Now, listen, let's go back to Paul because, you know, the God says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And he's showing Paul that, you know, Paul, you got to understand that I got the gold. I got the gold in my hand, and the gold is my word. The gold is my word. And I've been trying to prod you in the right direction, Paul, but every time I send out a word, every time I send something out for you, Paul, you decide that you're going to start kicking against the prick. And you don't understand why you're going through, why your heart is heavy, why everything seems wrong in your life, and why, you know, every time you turn around, something is getting on your nerves. You don't understand it, but what God is trying to show you today, that you might be kicking against the prick.
Yeah.
Because what he's trying to do is trying to keep you in line. It, you know, it says here that they would use the gold to keep the
the ox moving in the right direction. I want to let somebody know today, you got to keep it moving. You gotta keep it moving in the right direction, because, you know, God is trying to show you. And see, sometimes when God speaks to us, we decide in our minds that I'm not going to go that way.
Yeah,
I'm going to go my own way. I can, you know, sometimes we get that word in us, and that word gets us and makes us mad. We you know, and sometimes we can get the word, and we read, and we like, oh, I'm skipping over that. I ain't ready for that yet.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm skipping over it because I don't want to read it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to even, because I ain't ready. I'm not ready to change. I'm not ready. And that's called kicking against the bricks. That's called kicking against the gold.
Yeah.
That word is trying to get you to where God wants you to go. And God's saying, I'm pushing. I'm trying to push you. And I'm trying to lead you and guide you so you can make a straight line. You can plow straight. But you want to be like the little ox. You want to be like a little ox who's all over the place.
Yeah.
How many of our lives is all over the place? Sometimes we're just all over the place. We ain't got nothing right. We don't have no line, no straight line going on. And we're looking around. We're trying to figure out which way is up. My bills are due. My money is funny, too. How about that? My children ain't acting right. My spouse ain't acting right. I got this going on, and I got that going on, and everything is wrong in my life. But God is saying, I have put the word before you. And the word is what will keep you. The word is what will lead you. The word is what will guide you.
Yes.
And he's saying, too many of us are kicking against the prick.
My God.
He said, you're kicking. You're kicking. Stop. He said, stop kicking against the prick. Because when you realize, when you get to a place in your life where you start feeling like everything is wrong and something is going on, you know, you better get to God and look in that word and see what he's speaking to you and tell God, I yield. What must I do? I yield, God, I yield. I have to yield unto you, God, because you know what? If I don't yield, you ain't going to let me go. You're not going to stop. I'm here to tell you, when God called me to preach, I kicked against the pricks.
Go ahead.
I kicked for years, many, many years. Yes, I did, because I was afraid. And God didn't leave me alone, because he knew what he had put in me. And God said, I'm not even going to leave you alone. I'm just going to keep putting somebody. Everywhere I went, people was like, you got an anointing on your life. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear that. No, 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 no. Don't y'all know that's scary to have to do that? I don't want to do that. And God wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept, every time I turned around, he kept putting out that gold. He kept putting that gold out. And every time I kicked against it, man, the back of my heel was messed up. I had some messed up back. It was messed up. I mean, they bloody. They was bloody. Because I kicked hard. I didn't want it. I didn't want it. But somebody needs to know today, you need to stop kicking. Stop kicking against the pricks. Stop kicking against the gold that God puts out for you. Because God wants to make your load easier. He doesn't want you to be struggling out there by yourself and trying to figure it out. He doesn't want you to get to a place where you're feeling like you're just all alone. You have no one else to help you. He doesn't want you to be there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to understand that he has sent his son Jesus to take part of your load. And let me tell you something. And when you hook up, when you yoke up with Jesus, glory to God, when you yoke up with him, what you must understand is that Jesus will begin to take that load, that when you feel like you want to go the other direction, he will begin to just gently just guide you back into the right direction. When you're feeling like all hope is lost, he will be the one to be the lifter up of your head, because you're yoked to him. He will be the one to guide you in the right direction. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, hook up with me. If you just yoke up with me, I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to show you how easy life can be for you. against the pricks, and, yeah. and some of the things that, you know, I think I'm not kicking against the pricks about, maybe I am,
yeah.
But then God, it's still hard, and Jesus saying, you just keep plowing with me. Keep on plowing with me. If you keep plowing with me,
yeah.
If you're hooked up to Jesus,
yeah.
Somebody needs to understand this today. That if you're hooked up with Jesus, then what happens is he is the more mature in your life.
Come on.
He knows the way to go. He knows all the ins and outs. He knows all of the pitfalls. He knows everything. See, he has been where you are trying to go. He has done what you want to do. And so he knows everything about you and about the path that you need to take. And he's saying, if you will hear me, if you will listen to what it is that I need to say to you, and you will hook up with me and go with me, I will lead you, I will guide you into some green pastures. And he's saying, many of us, we're kicking against the prick. And you know what? When you kick against the prick, you waste time. You waste precious time. Because when he sends out the word, when God sends out the word, and that word begins to guide you and lead you, see, the word is not going to be what's going to hurt you, what's going to harm you. Your kicking is what's going to harm you, because, you know, you're the one who is out of order, not God. God is trying to lead you, and you're just saying, you know what, I'm not ready yet. I'm just going to make up my mind when I feel like I want to make up my mind. You are in the flesh, and you think about your mind. You think about, and God is saying, no, it's not. You got to get out of your flesh, because I'm not even in the flesh. I'm in spirit, okay? I'm spirit.
My Lord.
And many of us have kicked against that prick. And the word of God is trying to lead us and trying to guide us to where he wants us to be. And God is saying, you got to stop kicking. He's saying, because I got some work for you to do. I have places that I want you to go, and you're wasting precious time. You're wasting precious time worrying about what you think you can't do, or what you think that you want to do. And God is saying, stop wasting my time. I wasted 10 years of God's time running.
My God.
I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't want to do this. I wasted God's time. I don't know who I could have reached in those 10 years of preaching. I don't know what I could have done in those 10 years. And I wish I could go back. I can't go back.
Come on now.
And so I'm here to let you know, don't waste time. Don't waste God's precious time. When he puts it in you, God puts it in you, he will begin to work it out for you and through you. He will do the job. God, you know, the mature ox will take you and he will carry you.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're tired and you can't seem to make it any go any further, the mature ox will begin to just nudge you and wake you up and pull you along. The mature ox won't let you fall. He won't let you lay there and die. He won't let you get to a place where, you know, you feel like it's over. The mature ox will begin to take over.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know how sometimes you have, like, the lighting, when all the lights go out, another set of lights will come on. What is that called? The generator. Oh, he's like your generator. Your emergency lights. They just come on automatically. And so when we go out, when we're out of steam, when we can't do it anymore, all of a sudden, you know, if you're yoked up with Jesus. See, because if you're not yoked up with Jesus and you get out of steam and you feel like all hope is lost, what will happen is the enemy, if you're yoked up with him, you know what he's going to do? He's going to continue to speak to your life, that he's going to continue to speak death to your life. And he's going to continue to keep you on the same road that you're on and make it harder and harder and worse
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
But if you're yoked up with Jesus.
Well,
come on now.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you're yoked up with Jesus, what Jesus will do is he will begin to give you energy that you never thought that you had. He will begin to speak life into you. He will open up your understanding. He will begin to show you things. He will begin to tell you, don't go that way, go this way. He will, and then when you get to a place where you can't even walk, he will carry you. He will carry you. Being yoked to Jesus keeps us on the right path. Being yoked to Jesus helps us when times are hard and times are rough. If you will be yoked with him, you will find that serving him is a joy and a pleasure.
Well.
Serving him is a joy and a pleasure. And when the going gets rough and tough, Jesus is always on your side.
Thank you, Lord.
He will carry you through.
Yes, he will.
And I want to ask you the question today, have you taken the yoke of Christ upon you? Have you experienced the yoke of Christ upon you? Because if you have never experienced the yoke of Christ upon you, then you're in for something wonderful in your life.
Amen.
Because what you're going to need to do is get to a place where you're going to tell him, yes, I do. You know how people stand at the altar and say, I do? I do take you to be my lawfully wedded husband. Jesus is saying to you, I need for you to come to my altar and tell me, I do.
Well.
And see, just like that husband is supposed to be responsible, he's supposed to be a man who's going to take care of his family. He's going to be the man who will be the one who will bring that word to the family, because he's going to have a gold in his hand, and he's going to be leading and guiding his children, hallelujah, in the right path. Just like that man will do for his family, God will do for you.
My God.
Hallelujah. And so I'm here today to let you know that somebody's been kicking against the prick. And God is telling us today, stop kicking. Stop kicking, because I know what I want to do. I know the plans that I have for you. I need for you to stop kicking against the prick. Let us all stand in the house of the Lord. That's all I got. Hallelujah.